right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking
take all you want! Welcome, folks. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 173. I'm rolling right into it this week.
Okay.
None of the formalities, none of the highs and buys and blah, blah, blah.
What are the formalities?
You know, we have our little back and forth, our small talk. We pretend like we care, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Not this week.
I care. I'm not pretending.
This week, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 173, Being John Malkovich. Because we have to talk about this tonight.
Well, somebody, I think, has already used that title, sir.
Somebody has already, but yeah. We haven't.
That's a movie.
That makes it okay.
In a little film I like to call Being John Malkovich.
Well, I mean, we could call it something else. I said we could call it...
Why is it called Being John Malkovich? Why don't we just go right into that?
Because John Malkovich is in our news this week.
How so?
He is the latest casting rumor. Although I think this might be serious this time, for Spider-Man 4.
Okay. As whom?
Okay. I want to preface this by saying that I am not upset by this casting choice if they go forward with it. The Vulture.
Yeah, okay.
Totally okay with that.
Could be a lot worse.
Oh, hell yeah. Could be a lot worse.
I mean, I'm not happy at the fact that they're going with the Vulture because it means they're not going with the Lizard. But I'm okay being cast.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't mean they're not going with the Lizard.
Well, all right. We have more casting news surrounding Spider-Man.
Okay.
Anne Hathaway.
Hot.
Do you want to know what role she's been cast as?
No.
Potentially. Of course, this is still rumor. Okay. Although a lot of sources are running with it, unlike some other rumors.
Okay.
Felicia Hardy.
Black Cat?
No. No, sorry. No, Felicia Hardy in this world is not the Black Cat.
Who is she?
Just Mike. You want to break the news to him?
I thought she was Black Cat in every...
Do you not...
No, I don't know either.
Am I breaking this to
you're
you
breaking
also?
This to me too.
Am I the one telling both of you that in this world, Felicia Hardy is an original character?
No.
Never before seen in the Spider-Man comic books? Am I the one telling you that she's being cast potentially as the Vultress?
No.
Is this me
no.
that's breaking
Vultress?
This to you? The Vultress.
So they're going to have the Vulture and the Vultress.
Yes.
Don't you think that's got to be a bad rumor?
one could only hope. One could only hope.
I don't believe that.
But a lot of places are reporting on it. I've seen it. Like, normally you see a couple of sites report on it, and I know they're kind of like half hokey, and you're like, nah, can I really trust this one? Typically speaking, and I'm not going to say they're always right, but typically speaking, when Ain't It Cool News runs something, the sources are pretty good.
Yeah.
And Ain't It Cool News is running it now 2 days after it broke elsewhere.
Right.
Which to me means they've had the time to see it, digest it, and
find out if it's true.
Verify it. Now, they're still saying that it's an unconfirmed rumor, but normally their unconfirmed rumors are pretty close on.
Yeah.
Pretty close on. So there it is.
How interesting.
It's terrible. It's not terrible as John Malkovich as the Vulture. Again, I'm okay with that.
That's good.
It's not terrible to have Anne Hathaway as the Black Cat. If I had to cast someone else's Black Cat other than Rachel McAdams, right? That's who not Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams. Yeah.
I could see her stepping into that role.
But Anne Hathaway would be probably very good at
but
that.
The Vultress?
I'm
problems with this. Why do we need an original villain when there are so many villains to pick from? And second of all, if you are going to pick an original villain and you are going to make this new character the Vulture, Vulturess, to play off the character the Vulture, why name her Felicia Hardy? Why fuck with Spider-Man? Why not just name her something else? What was the Vulture's name? Something Toomey, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
What was his name? It was something Toomey was his last name.
While you look it up, I'll say that I don't believe any of it. I don't believe any of it. I'm going to wait and I'm going to see something definitive that comes from the likes of a trailer or something like that where I can say, okay, now I have a problem with it because...
Toomes. Sorry.
Now I have a problem with it because we know that this is going to happen. This is like everything else. Like every Thor casting rumor and everything else. The fact that, you know, we're all upset about the fact that Brian Blessed was not cast as Odin and Anthony Hopkins was. And, you know, it's like I don't believe anything until I see it. When I see a trailer and Anne Hathaway's flying around in a vulture-like costume, that's when I'm on it.
Again, I agree. I'm just saying that if that is the case and these rumors do have any credibility behind them, that's a disappointing, sad, bad thing.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
You balance it by the fact that you get Anne Hathaway.
Okay. Fine.
Maybe it's not absolutely balanced per se, but it's
something.
It's a give and take, sir.
All right. Fine. Johnny Depp in the news. He hasn't been in the news in, what, a week, two?
At least three weeks, maybe.
An hour.
Johnny Depp and Tim Burton are moving forward with the previously rumored Dark Shadows movie.
Terrific.
Now, I've never actually seen Dark Shadows.
It was like a soap opera.
It was like a soap opera, but with vampires.
Right.
Right? Isn't that essentially...
Yeah, that's essentially
it. And it ran for like 14 seasons or something ridiculous like that, right?
It started out
in black and white and eventually migrated to color. And then there was like a movie adaptation somewhere down the road and
possibly.
They revisited it.
Possibly.
Well, apparently, Burton and Depp are moving forward. So, of course, this calls into question Depp's other possible futures, which would be, they did say that this is going to not interfere with Alice. It would be after Alice.
Alice is almost done, I thought.
What does it mean for Pirates? Obviously, because Pirates 4 has been announced and his participation in that project.
Clearly, if it's been announced, then it's happening. He's not going to leave that project.
Right.
To do Dark Shadows.
I just wonder how it affects the timeline.
That vampire had a weird name, too, like Barnabas or...
Yeah, was it Barnaby or Barnabas?
Barnabas.
Yeah, it was something like
something
that.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Well, good.
So.
Another, and Tim Burton will come out and say, anyone that knows me knows that I have never seen an episode of Dark Shadows. And it's like, really? That's what he says to everything. Anyone who knows me knows that I've never seen or read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And clearly by his film, you'd agree. You know, I've never read a Batman comic book. And clearly by the film, You'd agree. I've never seen any of the Planet of the Apes movies.
Okay, that one
and
you get.
Clearly by the film, you see.
What soap opera? Didn't they cancel a soap opera this week, too?
They did, like,
50-something years.
Guiding Light, or the other one?
As the World Turns.
As the World Turns.
After, like, 50-something years?
Guiding Light was canceled, like, earlier in the year, after 72 years.
Jesus Christ.
That's as long as TV's been around.
That was the first TV show?
Did this start as a radio program or something? And they made it to TV? I don't know.
Christ on a cracker.
IDW, a premier publisher, I like to say, of illustrated narratives, will be bringing us Peter S. Beagle's The Last Unicorn.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I like IDW.
I do, too.
I like where they go with their stuff.
Mm-hmm. They're doing some great stuff over at IDW. And illustrated, it's going to come out. I think the first issue comes out April 2010.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's very exciting. Most people know it from the animated film, of course, and if you've never read the book, of course, the book is a little bit different. The film is kind of a simplified version of the book. But this is going to be a very faithful interpretation from the book.
Okay.
So, there it is.
Speaking of faithful interpretations of the book, Peter Jackson this week, chatting about The Hobbit. Because, you know, we have some Hobbit news. We haven't had Hobbit news in too long. A couple of things I heard. I heard he acknowledged the presence of Elrond for sure in the film, which obviously makes sense.
Duh.
Hugo Weaving's participation.
Right.
And the possibility of Galadriel. Was Galadriel in the book?
Does anyone make reference to her? There is a bunch of those higher-up elves in the book. Well, I don't remember exactly, and here's what I'm going on. I'm going on, unfortunately, the awful Rankin Bass. Oh, actually, it's not awful. It's actually adorable. Adorable Rankin Bass.
Lord of the Rings?
No.
Oh, Return of the King.
No, The Hobbit. We've already been through right. Return of the King,
sorry,
sir. We're talking about The Hobbit
right
now. And there is, when they bring the swords to the elves to get them to read the runes. Whatever are runes? And there are a few elves that are present, but I don't remember if specifically Elrond is definitely mentioned, but I don't remember in the book if specifically they mention who else is there. If they did, and she comes back and does the part that, you know, I'm sure 5-minute cameo, that would be pretty cool for continuity's sake.
Right.
I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be good.
I heard casting rumors.
For what?
For The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah? Who'd you hear?
Ready for this?
Shh, go for it.
Brian Cox.
Okay.
You remember Brian Cox? Villain X-Men 2.
In X-Men 2, yeah.
Right?
He was Stryker.
Stryker, correct. And he was also Hannibal Lecter in the Manhunter movie.
Right.
He was in Bourne, too, right?
What's that?
Wasn't he in Bourne's?
He was in the Bourne movies.
He was in the Bourne movies. He's been in a lot of stuff lately. What was that other one? The Scottish one. He was a...
Rob Roy?
Yeah, Rob Roy. He was an asshole in that movie. As Thorin Oakenshield.
Wait, who was Thorin Oakenshield? Brian Cox is Thorin Oakenshield?
That's the rumor.
Okay, I'm not entirely... That's okay.
That's the right kind of guy to cast.
That is the right kind of guy to cast.
So if you're going to get, if you're going to get John Rhys Davies to play, Gimli. That's the kind of guy you want to get for Thorin. So it works.
All right.
That's a rumor, of course. I heard he took meetings. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor.
He took meetings.
Well, Peter Jackson says that the second Hobbit script, meaning for the second film,
right,
is still based solely on the Hobbit novel. It's the Hobbit novel. The overall scope will be the Hobbit novel in two parts. He's breaking up the story somewhere in two parts, which makes no sense.
Sure, it does. If the other rumors are true.
What are the rumors?
The other rumors about them adding back Tom Bombadil.
Yeah,
and...
but me reading that,
uh-huh,
right, saying that he's basing it solely on the novel and splitting it in two parts means they're not going to add back in all those little side stories. I mean, the Tom Bombadil story was very short. We're not talking about the one that was later published in
right
unfinished tales or lost tales. Or, I mean, we're talking about take The Hobbit, which is the shortest of the four books, because we don't count those other books that his son wrote, which is the shortest of the four books, and splitting it into two. I mean, it's the shortest of the four books. Is each movie going to be like 45 minutes?
Well, what I said was is that they were what I suspect is that they'll both be shorter than either of the first three Lord of the Rings movies. So if we put them, just use round numbers, at 2.5 hours,
right?
I can't imagine these being more than 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Each. Okay.
So you'd rather make 2 hour and 45 minute movies than 1 3.5 hour movie.
I agree with that.
Right?
I agree
because
with that.
That's exact. I mean, but be honest, even though it's the shortest book, it would still be a long ass way to tell that
story.
So then
the question is, where do they break the first movie?
The river.
Before he gets to
Watertown?
Yeah.
Is that what the town is called? I forget. That would be my in the barrels. That would be my guess. That's about the middle of the book.
Like it ends with the barrels going over.
Something
and
like
that's
that.
In
yeah.
Credits.
Something very, oh, I hope he survives.
Yeah, because actually. Because
nobody knows.
Right. If I remember, like when you're reading the book, you know, barrels go over and then the next chapter begins and it's like.
Not about the barrels.
Yeah. And that's, and like some time has passed too, right?
It
like,
seems. And that if I recall correctly. That's a kind of a decent enough break,
right?
Where I think it would work.
Well, we'll
so
see.
So we'll see. But we'll see. But that really doesn't leave, unfortunately, that doesn't leave a lot of, shall we say, action in the first flick, does it?
Well, no, yeah, because you still go through. I mean, maybe not action, but suspense.
Yeah, there's
because you have
there's a bunch in
you
there.
Have like the whole. The giants in the forest, right? The riddles. That's all before that, isn't that?
Yeah.
So, oh no, that's all that. Oh no, yeah, that's all before that.
That's before,
that.
I think.
So,
isn't it?
Yeah, there's some stuff. It's not
stuff.
Action, suspense. Really, all the action is going to be, it's going to be all surrounding Smaug, I would think.
Do you remember the reference that they made to the giants in the forest in the first movies?
Oh God,
when they pass,
I believe you that it exists.
They actually see the giants' stone.
In the first movie?
They pass them in,
Fellowship?
I think it's Fellowship. They actually pass them at one point, which I thought was a terrific little nod to the Hobbit. But now they're going to have to go back and be like, who has that statue?
where's that thing lying around?
Somebody
CGI,
get the storage
baby.
Key.
CGI. Joss Brolin. Coming into another movie in our genre.
Oh, boy. You mean it's another one besides...
Jonah Hex. Yeah. And this is kind of in our genre, I would say. Maybe the outskirts,
you're
but not really.
Now. You're backpedaling.
Well, Men in Black, that's our genre, yeah?
I'd say.
So Josh Brolin...
Men in White.
In Men in Black 3 is what they're saying. And they're saying as a possible replacement for Tommy Lee Jones. Now, I've read two things. I've read as a pass off of the torch. So in Men in Black 2, Tommy Lee Jones is kind of in retirement. Will Smith brings him out of retirement to do the little story. And I think at the end, I don't think he retires.
No, he doesn't.
But you could theoretically have him retire again. You need a new agent, whatever.
Wait. So no Will Smith?
No, Will Smith.
Oh, okay.
Will Smith, definitely. But just as Tommy. But the other thing I heard was potentially as a younger Tommy Lee Jones, which are they going to do
origin story
time travel?
Time travel,
or I'm not quite sure how that would work. I'd rather see a passing off of the. I'd rather see a. Like
I'd
a
rather
handoff.
See. I'd rather see son of Tommy Lee Jones, and he's the villain.
That'd be interesting.
That would be cool.
That would be interesting.
But of course,
I mean, I like Josh Brolin, so you know, I like the Men in Black movies. I liked both of them. So
okay,
you know, that's okay. No news on Jonah Hex though recently, which I'm kind of surprised.
No, I think trailer.
Coming
probably
soon?
Christmas time. Well, it's a spring movie this year, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's got to be, trailer's got to be coming.
Apparently, Mick G has been running his lips. Have you read about this?
Yes, I have.
Saying
Mick
that
G ought to shut the hell up.
Saying that, oh, yeah, we're going to do two more Terminator films. And everybody else is like, yeah, we don't know about that just yet. And he's like, no, yeah, two more. It was a planned trilogy, which. It's true. I think he planned it as a trilogy. Yeah.
Is Mick
he
G
planned it as a trilogy.
Is Mick G going to fund these movies?
Well that, because... the box office hasn't planned it as a trilogy. The first two, really, or the first one, I should say, really, It didn't meet expectations.
I liked it, and the reason it didn't meet expectations is because that shit was PG-13 and too fucking clean.
Now, have you seen the director's cut yet? Have either of you seen the director's cut?
No, I own it,
yet?
But I haven't watched.
Okay, so I picked it up the other day, and I didn't realize that there was a director's cut version, and I didn't get the director's cut. Now, I haven't opened it yet, so problem easily solved.
They released a non-director's cut?
On Blu-ray, no less. So
I'm sure I have the director's
cut. So Blu-ray. I don't know. So now I maybe I have to return it and get the director's cut. I've heard the director's cut is better. So
well, one would it's rated R.
Was the first one not was
no,
the
it was PG-13.
Cut?
That was one of the problems I had with it when it came out. Clearly they dumbed down. If you watched the first Terminator movie and they're making reference to the future,
right?
And you see all the Kyle Reese running to the bad soundtrack through the rubble and he's running with that one person, and all of a sudden that one person gets blown up in front of you. Like, that was some horrendous stuff. The only thing that got blown up in this movie was robots. There was, like, virtually no people. They were capturing people and stuff. They were not killing people, though. Meanwhile, the whole purpose of the Terminators is to kill people, and they barely showed, if they showed at all, them killing people, which I didn't understand.
Yeah, I don't
know. You know what I think this series needs?
What?
Joss Whedon.
Well, you know.
No, it doesn't need
no,
Joss
Whedon.
No, it
does not.
Why he won't get it.
He just needs to do Dr. Horrible, too. And
yeah, that's all. And just retire.
And just sit on a couch somewhere.
And just not sell another show to Fox, stupid.
No, you can't entirely blame Fox for this one.
No, you can't. No, you'd have to blame the fact that it wasn't a good show and Fox.
And Fox, yeah. So it's definitely – I mean, look, I like the show. I understand why it didn't perform well on Fox.
Yeah, and why on earth no one is sinking money into bringing Firefly back to Sci-Fi Channel in some form, shape, or other.
Because don't even get me started about the Sci-Fi Channel. They are filled with pompous steam that they think that their shit doesn't stink.
And they have every right to in our genre, considering how well Battlestar Galactica did and how well some other things did.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I really think that some of their shows are performing well just out of luck. And I think that their shows are performing well based on their ability to have a show with bad ratings.
Oh, I'd like
to carry it forward.
I'd like to comment on that.
Okay.
No, what we're experiencing is a vacuum.
Okay.
There is no great show like Battlestar Galactica now.
Right.
And in their desperation, they're reaching out for anything and trying to make it be, I don't mean they, I mean us, the people
right.
who are watching, are looking for something to be as cool as Battlestar Galactica. Yet there is only what is available, like you said, the minutiae that they're putting out now.
I have seen a couple episodes of Sanctuary. I don't think it's great. I stopped watching Warehouse 13. I couldn't get into it. I've barely clung on to SGU. It finally started to maybe get good around episode 8, and now episode 10 was okay too.
Snail's pace.
And then they broke for the mid-season.
Right.
So none of those shows would survive outside of Sci-Fi. So for Sci-Fi to brag about how great these shows, they're not that great. You're right. They're not that great. They're surviving because they're on Sci-Fi.
That's it.
They would not survive anywhere else.
It's a Eureka vacuum.
And admittedly, I love Eureka. I think it's a great show. But Eureka would not survive outside of Sci-Fi either because it's too
niche.
Weird. But their original programming, it sucks. It's not great. They haven't had good original programming in a long time.
Well,
and these shows that they're putting on there right now, I think, are filling in holes.
Waiting for the next great thing. And let me tell you what that great thing is going to be, my friend.
What?
The Phantom.
Maybe. I hope so.
I hope so.
It won't be.
You don't think so?
No, but I'll watch every episode, like just like the vacuum we were just describing.
Yeah, you'll watch it.
And we will come on this show every week, and I'll be like, gee, the Phantom last week? That shit was awesome.
I mean, even if it isn't. And people are going to beat us up because people love a bunch of those shows on Sci-Fi. None of them overly impress me. I watch a couple of them to fill a need in my life to watch that kind of programming.
There's nothing close to the success that Battlestar brought them. There's nothing.
It's a shame. It's a shame. They need something solid, and I don't know
nothing.
What that is.
Nope.
I don't know what it is, but. All right, one more thing. DC Comics, your favorite writer, J. Michael Straczynski. Next year, DC has now announced that Superman will be getting back in touch with his roots in Superman Earth One. which from what I can read, sounds like a relaunch of Superman.
Is it a relaunch or is it a reimagination?
It's that. Okay. I think. I can't really tell. And apparently they're doing it with Batman later in the year also. Jeff Johns and Gary Frank are behind that one.
Oh, Jess Mike had something about that.
That's actually going to be not a monthly thing. That's going to be like a graphic novel type 80 page, maybe like four times a year.
And this is the Batman one.
This is the Batman one, you know, with Jeff Johns.
I just saw an update on the Superman one, and I think it's taking the same format.
Okay.
So, I mean, maybe the format...
Quarterly? It's going to be quarterly?
I don't know about specifically about that. I just know it's not going to be monthly.
Okay.
But I don't know.
What's interesting about that is that Jeff Johns and Gary Frank are actually doing Superman Secret Origins now. So they're jumping over to Batman, apparently.
Well, when you write in that universe, you got to have an ultimate goal. And I think when you're a writer in comics, one of your ultimate goals has to be you want to write Batman or Superman at least once. And given who they are, I mean, it's not surprising that both of them are gunning for both of them. So
Straczynski says, what I'm trying to do is dig into the character and look at him through modern eyes. If you were to create the Superman story today for the first time, but keep intact all that works, what would it look like? It's ultimate Superman.
It would look like Straczynski is really stretching his legs.
Look like Brendan Routh.
Look, again, again, is Straczynski going to be the ongoing writer, or is he doing this?
Well, look, if it's only four times a year, then he could easily be the ongoing writer. Well, he's got to write a handful of pages a year.
That's a shame. Because what I like about Straczynski, what I actually like about Straczynski is that he can take something and he can rework it so that it works better. And both Just Mike and I are huge fans of The Web.
Oh, yeah.
The Shield, Hangman, and Inferno, which are books that he said, okay, here's these characters. Here's the way they used to be. I'm going to reinterpret these characters for today. And then I'll leave and let other people tell the stories. If that was the case in the characters of Superman and Batman, I might give both of those books a shot.
Well, maybe his intentions are to do an arc, which will be maybe, let's say it's quarterly. So he does four issues. And if DC decides to run with it further, he'll pass the torch. I mean, Straczynski seems to be doing a new thing constantly.
Right.
So I don't know. Well, okay. I guess we'll have to wait and see if it's a success. If it falls on its face, then it won't go anywhere.
That's true.
So that's it. That's all I got.
And with that, let's take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 173, Being John Malkovich.
Right.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out ComboBreaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The Fonz be with you.
And also with you.
How lucky are you?
Fonzie be praised!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 173, being John Malkovich as the Vulture. Dot, dot, dot. We can add that in there now because you know now, so it's okay.
Being John Malkovich.
Or being Adrian Toomes.
You know, we should call it being the Vulture.
There you go.
There it is.
There. Okay, so now the cat's out of the bag. We can change the title. And make
we
got to
rewind the show and start again, but call it being the Vulture.
Well, why don't we move forward with this show with a little bit of this?
Geek Stuff, DVD News.
Right, in DVDs this week, there is a lot to talk about, although I personally shied away. The one I did pick up is the Johnny Depp, Christian Bale, Public Enemies.
I wanted to see this and didn't get to see it in the theater.
Right, it's a Michael Mann movie, so of course you should see it.
Michael Mann.
Yeah, he did Heat and was that other one he did? Last of the Mohicans. I was going for that.
Okay.
I was going to, you know, something recent, something a little older. Of course, Johnny Depp as John Dillinger and Christian Bale as the cop who brings him down. It's a gangster story from that era. You'll love it. Check it out.
You know, he was the producer behind Hancock. Just wanted to throw that out there.
You love cock, don't
you? I bet he was.
Also out on DVD this week, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Finally out on disc this week.
Uh-huh.
Did you buy it?
No.
Because you're waiting.
I'm waiting.
Patiently.
Now, here's my theory.
All right.
There's two ways to go here, folks.
Okay.
You can buy the single, the regular version, whatever it is, $15-$20, of it to, you know, go along with your collection as it's been going on so far.
Right.
They've now introduced, starting this week, the first two movies were released in Ultimate Editions.
Right.
There are two or three disc sets. They have a whole bunch of stuff with them. Whole bunch of stuff.
Yep, I saw those.
Never before released this and never seen that. The first movie is, what, 3 minutes longer? The second one is 12 minutes longer, something like that?
Yeah, I think they're splicing in some of the deleted stuff from the previous
movies. Right. And they're good thick box, good 2 inches thick. They're about $40, which isn't terrible for something like that. The Lord of the Rings ones were more, as I recall.
When they first came out, yes.
The first time when they came out. And
not
then
the second and third times, though.
And the second when they thinned them out.
They were down to like $10 for on sale.
It was unbelievable.
Sale.
So here's the theory. The theory here is that we have, 2011 will be the last movie.
Right.
That means I say, and it's 2011.
Part 7B.
It's 7B, right? Deathly Hallows 2.
Right.
So we know that the new one is coming out this spring, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the first one that's coming out this spring?
The trailer's just finally leaked.
Right. So that's coming this spring. And then the fall of 2011, I think, it's the Christmas. I think it's a Christmas release.
Right.
A fall 2011, which means that in 2012... Christmas season 2012, at the latest, if not sooner.
There'll be the ultimate
There
super...
will be a box set.
Right.
There has to be a box set. It's only 7 flicks.
Right.
Right? I'm waiting for that.
Okay.
I've decided.
Well, I've been buying them all along. Typically, I've been getting them on sale.
Yes.
On the regular disc.
Right.
And last year, last Christmas, Amazon had its gold box deal of the day, where you could get the first 5 Blu-ray movies for $56-$57.
Right.
So I picked them up last year because I just got my Blu-ray player.
Right.
My wife is a huge Harry Potter fan. Harry Potter Fiesta at the house. We watched like all 5 of them in a weekend kind of thing. So I don't regret it. And I'll probably pick this up out of curiosity. That being said, I'm sure I'll buy the ultimate complete Uber box set. I mean, God only knows. I found a box the other day that had 4 complete trilogy copies of the original Star Wars trilogy, VHS.
Ooh.
4 different releases that I had on VHS, not to mention the handful of DVD releases I have. I've got to have at least 3 different DVD releases of the original trilogy. So all in all, I have 7.
I have 4 different I have 4 different DVD sets from Star Wars. Of course, most of which are not legal.
Right, well, I have that set.
Right.
I have the original, and then the original remastered, and then the
special edition.
And then
I have the first DTS ones.
Right,
released,
yeah. I mean,
right.
It's just like, ugh. But, yes. So, I'll buy them.
And my theory is also that if they don't do a box set, if they don't do a really good box set that has all this stuff in it and all the Ultimate Editions and all that crap, if they don't do that, I don't believe that these special editions are going to go anywhere.
No.
I don't think they're going to go out of print or anything
that. There'll be some other reincarnation of the special edition.
Right.
There'll be something. You'll see something in 2012. I'm not going to pick up these special editions now. Those I'm not going to get. But I will get the regular edition of Half-Blood Prince just to have.
Right.
And then, you know, I'll wait for the full set. Also out this week. Oh, actually, I have a question for you. You were at Best Buy. You're a Best Buy shopper.
Yes.
The Best Buy exclusive of Half-Blood Prince?
Yes.
Is it a mask packaging, or is it a mask that comes with it?
I think it's packaging. I think it's a case.
Like that opens?
Like the ones we've seen that used to be Target exclusives.
Yeah, like
I think from looking at it briefly as I did, I think it's like that where the disc is inside.
Because that's what I thought, and then I read it, and it's like, comes with a mask. And I was like,
No, I don't. It looked to me more like the packaging, but I could be wrong about that. I didn't look that closely at it.
Also out on DVD this week, Lost, the complete fifth season, out on disc this week, too, so you can grab that and check it out. What else? Anything else in our genre?
Julie and Julia?
Not really in our genre, but out this week.
I didn't see it, though, which is disturbing to me, because I was going to pick that up for someone I know.
Rescue Me, season 5. Oh, that's right, and there's a special edition of Lost out this week too.
The Dharma Initiative box.
Does that come with a VHS?
It comes with a VHS tape.
Does it come with a VCR?
It comes with a VHS tape of
the initiative video.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you supposed to? I don't know if I have a VCR anymore.
I got a VCR.
I do too.
So there
you
well,
can get
we know,
it and transfer
it
to
do,
DVD.
Just Mike. How else are you gonna watch Above the Law and Under Siege 2?
Hey.
They're
I don't want a
DVD.
I know, but he has them on the VHS.
And I felt like watching some Steven Seagal movies.
You know, VHS is permanent, sir. DVD is forever. And Blu-ray is forever plus.
Plus more gooder.
Plus more sound and picture quality.
All right, let's move on from DVDs.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics to check out this week. Just a couple to check out this week. A lot of good ones, though. The Shield, number 4, as we were mentioning earlier, the J. Michael Straczynski revamp of this character, now an ongoing book written and drawn by other people, which is fantastic. This one starts a new cycle, if you will, featuring the Great Ten. Is the Great Ten a group that I should be familiar with, Mike?
Got me.
I don't know this group either.
Well, it is a very exciting concept. Second feature, Inferno. We talked about the special, the second features in DC Comics. I think they're great. The DC Universe Holiday Special 09. Doo-doo-doo. This is a one-shot they put out every year. It features some holiday-themed tales. From different people. It's an anthology. There's a whole bunch of different stories in here. There's a lot of them in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Wow, 16 stories? Man. 16 bits for you to enjoy. Holiday Splendor featuring your favorite DC characters. All of them are in here. There's no Black as Night story, though, thank God. It's the only book that doesn't have one. And speaking of Black as Night, it's Doom Patrol, number 5, featuring Black as Night story content. For those of you following the epic saga of Black as Night through the DC Universe. And also, second feature is The Metal Men. Absolutely terrific. On a related note, I want to bust in here. I know this isn't comic news, but I wanted to say that DC Universe Classics from Mattel, Negative Man, going to be in one of the future waves. So they and they're starting the Metal Men in the next wave also by presenting one character there. So they're kind of doing groups just spread out over lines.
But that kind of makes sense.
No,
though.
It does. I was really happy when I saw that they were doing that with Metal Men and Doom Patrol. It was fantastic. So I just wanted to mention that. And finally, to round out this week, it's Red Robin number 7. A book I think that's getting better and better. Just Mike?
Yeah, at first I didn't really. I was close to not buying the second one. Bought it and then read on, and I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, really. Really, really a good book.
Yeah.
much to my surprise.
Me too.
I really thought it was tanked by now, but it hasn't at all.
It's held on.
Have you read anything lately that that you want to share?
Because no,
I know Just Mike and I are always talking about the comics that
we
read.
I'm fully caught up on Legacy now.
Matt, wait, hold on. I hate to break in on you here, but that is the D&D intro music. Of course, it must be time for our D&D product of the week. As we continue our in-depth look into the 4th edition D&D products from our friends over at Wizards of the Coast. To check out tonight's product or other products, go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Dungeons & Dragons Draconomicon Metallic Dragons.
Ooh, okay.
So you may remember some months ago we talked about the chromatic dragons.
Right.
The colored ones. Colored, we don't say
Ooh.
That. Sorry. The dragons of color.
That's right.
The African-American dragons.
That's right.
Red, blue, green, white, and so forth. Well, these are the metallic dragons, and they include adamantite.
Okay.
Adamantine. I forget, but this is not the world of what that other thing where they have adamantite. Copper, gold, iron, and silver, as okay. described in Monster Manual 2, and they have several new metallic dragons
wow.
as well, including cobalt, mercury, mithril, because it's AL in the D&D universe, aurium, and steel. The book contains all sorts of new dragon powers, tactics, lairs, servitors, a lot of fantastic material inside. You know, when your game is called Dungeons & Dragons, you want to make sure you're fleshing out the dungeons and the dragons.
That's very profound.
I know. And so, therefore, a book like this that really fleshes out the way that dragons should be played, portrayed, and so on and so forth, this is a very valuable resource.
Is the shady dragon in there?
No, sir. That is not.
You like that shady dragon?
I know.
In
I like
there?
How you that's tied it in. Shady that. Dragon in there. There. Like dragon that? In. Shady dragon in. I get it. I get it. It's clever. Everyone knows you stumbled into that by accident, by the way. Gonna run you about $40, $39.95. Not a bad price for what? 200 and
something
change pages of terrific gaming information for you to have at your disposal. Be you a GM or be you a player?
Okay.
So there it is. It's Dungeons & Dragons Draconomicon Metallic Dragons from our friends over at Wizards of the Coast. To check out the Draconomicon and other products, go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D. Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Right into product stuff.
Wow, look at us moving forward.
Yes. I have two to talk about really quick. The first is the latest addition to the World of Warcraft trading card game. It's Scourge War.
Okay.
Now, what is significant here is I have what's called an Epic Collection. It looks like a booster box, but it's not. It contains 5 booster packs.
All right.
Scourge War Playmat, Scourge War Deck Box, a consumable loot card from Scourge War, and a Scourge War collector's poster. Now, what's the big deal? Well, it's going to run you about $20-$25 for the box,
right?
Which, if you do the math, 5 packs at 4 is 20 right there. Plus, you're getting those other things that I mentioned as well. But really, consumable loot card is really what you want to talk about here for your online WoW playing. And what a loot card is a card they put out several in each set, trading card set. And they're extraordinarily rare, as you know, but you're guaranteed one in this box.
Yep.
Here, which is great. Some of the past ones include Spectral Tiger, which mm-hmm. was a mount. the X-51 Nether Rocket, which was also a mount.
Right.
And there have been others along the way, different varying degrees of rarity. Now, that said, the Spectral Tiger sold for $2,000 on eBay when it first came out.
My.
That's and it was one in 7,000 packs.
That's, wow.
Crazy. X-51 Nether Rocket, also not quite that high. It's maybe about a quarter of that rarity, but still right now selling for about $400 or $500.
That's
nutty.
Yeah.
Anyway, you get these cards. They have a little scratch-off section. You scratch it off, and it gives you a code. You go to a certain place within the game, and you enter the code in, and you get whatever the thing is. Now, in this one, this particular set, there are three. There's one called Tiny. It's a tiny mount for Torin and
okay.
Draenei. I think it looks like a tiny horse, to be honest, but I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know.
It's a pony.
Yeah, it is. It's something really equivalent like that. Very funny looking thing. And that's the kind of stuff that these loot cards usually are. The second one is a Tuskar kite.
Okay.
Which is kind of, they're treating it like a vanity pet. So, in other words, when you get it, it's just a little thing that you have.
And it follows
And when you.
You
activate it, I think a string goes off of you and the kite flies up in the air. It's very, very right. cute thing. And then third is the Spectral Tiger Cub.
Is this just a vanity pet also?
It's just a vanity pet also. It just looks really good. You know, and now, of course, with the achievements and everything else, these vanity pets can actually mean something.
Right.
You know, for achievements and so on and so forth. And he's a cute little thing, and there he is. And I think those are the three from this set. So I wanted to bring your attention the Epic Collection, which is an individual box you can buy, and is guaranteed one of those cards is in this box. Now,
wow.
My understanding is that the most common is the mount. The second right. is the kite. And then, of course, the rare is the cub.
Right, the cub.
Right.
Okay.
Kitten. Cub. Kitten.
Wait, the vanity pet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cub. Right?
Yeah. Cub.
Baby.
Baby cat is a cub.
Cub.
Yes.
But baby little cat, kitten.
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't think it's a tiger kitten. I'm pretty positive it's a tiger cub.
Interesting, isn't it?
Little cub is a bear.
So there's that.
That too.
Okay.
And finally tonight we want to talk about, it's finally here. It's the Dark Knight from Medicom, right? The Dark Knight, the Joker as the Gotham police officer. So you may recall that in the Dark Knight movie, the Joker disguises himself in an effort to try and kill the mayor as one of the Gotham City Honor Guard during the outgoing commissioner's funeral, right? So what they've done here is, let's take it right from the box. The box is exquisitely beautiful. It has a sort of, not embossed, but a sort of silverish cover where the Joker symbol from the original card from the first movie, if you remember what that card looked like, that symbol is sort of on there.
Right.
It has a metallic flap box, which I think this could be the first time for Hot Toys to have a metallic flap box.
Okay.
We're talking like Sideshow.
Okay.
Metallic flap boxes. Like they started them with Star Wars, remember?
Right.
Okay, you open the flap. It's got a beautifully purple interior, and right away you see three playing cards, okay? The first one is a picture of Heath Ledger as the Joker on a playing card. The second one is a little notation, and it says, "Unforgettable Heath Ledger, the Joker. We met the new Joker in the Dark Knight. Psychopathic, schizophrenic, and mass-murdering clown with no empathy. Heath Ledger's portrayal deviates from the previous interpretations of the Joker. His incredible performance in the Dark Knight movie lives in our hearts." And then finally, there is a third card, and it is a replica of that original card from the first movie. There's actually an additional card also, which I don't recognize as being from anything in particular, but it's in there. So there you go. A couple of cards. They actually rest nicely in the box, so you don't have to worry about them
ruining
scooting
them,
scooting out or being ruined. Okay, so this is the first level of the box, right?
Right.
You pull the magic ribbon at the bottom of the box, and you reveal, first of all, a very well-packed box, lots of protective foam, and you reveal two figures, but actually is not. On the left, you see the Joker as the Joker in the full makeup with the full outfit on, the striped pants, the purple coat, just like the scene with the pencil trick.
So
that's the full outfit we're talking about. On the right side is the Joker police officer sculpted head and the Joker police officer suit.
That one's really nice.
I mean, so incredible. The buttons are metal and real and separate, right down to the metallic flag pin on his lapel.
Yeah, I mean, that's an impressive.
Incredible.
I like that one a lot.
Incredible. No body in there, though. The body is actually on the Joker side. So he actually comes, the body you get with this set, you get one body, but
right.
Two sets of clothes and two heads.
Is this the first time that the police clothes have been available?
Yes.
Because we've seen the nurse and we've seen...
Well, the nurse was not an official release.
Oh, was that a... Someone did it?
Yes, that was someone did it. And someone did it awesome, but it was not an official release.
Okay.
So we could still see an official release of that come, although I'm not sure at this point if that's where they want to go with it because of the... Apparently, that one that was released, which was kind of a custom sort of thing that one company did, very popular. Very, very popular. So I don't know if Hot Toys is going to go ahead and do it since so many people probably already have it. You remove the foam embedded section here, and that brings you to level 3 in the box.
Okay.
In level 3, you have all the accessories you could possibly imagine for this set.
Okay.
That includes the police hat to finish the look, a service pistol with removable clip.
Okay.
The badge.
Okay.
Individual safety pins.
Okay.
For the Joker costume. You have three sets of hands and an additional hand. So you get 2 for 6, 7 hands. For various different things.
Right.
You get the rifle.
Okay.
You get the police officer shoes.
Okay.
You get the socks. The police officer socks. I knew you'd like that one.
Shudder.
That's why I paused into it there. You get a base, which looks like metallic, sort of that steel grid looking thing. It's not anything in particular. It's just a nice base. And it has a, what you call it, also a back.
Stand.
Yeah, stand. And then you get the grenades on the string.
Right, right.
That he had in his coat during the scene that I mentioned. And also, here's my card. And he holds up the card. You also get that card. One of the hands has the finger out the right way. So you can put the little ring on the finger like he's tugging on
the grenade.
Grenades. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just Mike and I were looking at it before the show. Just Mike, a little misty.
Yeah, that one really blew me away.
Well, it's a pretty piece. And if you're a Joker fan, then it's like a must-have.
I agree, it is a must-have. And it is going to run you. I'm not going to lie. It is an expensive
I'm sure
piece.
It's not cheap.
When Just Mike and I were together in our shop where we do our shopping today, and I had this, and Just Mike saw it. He goes, you know, I'm considering that might be, you know, something I would be interested in. And he goes, what's that running? And I told him, and he says, well, I ain't gonna ever get it. You know, yes, it is in the 3-digit area, and it's well in the woods of the 3-digit area. So there,
like $200.
Thereabouts, yes, sir. Yes,
250?
No, about where you said was fine. Now, let me justify that. Let me justify it. Let's say it is $200.
Right.
Right? In all honesty, for another $25 or $30, right? So let's call it 30. Now it's 230. You're getting two figures out of this box clean, because you don't need, all you need is a body to complete that second figure, because there's two entirely complete sets of outfits in the box.
Right.
So you can get a blank Medicom body for about $30. You've spent $230, you get two pieces at $115 a piece, which is exactly what you'd be paying for a Sideshow figure in this scale anyway. Right?
Yeah.
Right or wrong? Star Wars pieces are $100 plus shipping. So you're right about at the right mark. So I say it's not a bad deal. In fact, it's a great deal.
Okay.
Is what I say. I don't know what you say, but that's what I say.
I'd say. It's a nice piece, so it's worth its weight in gold.
And that said, considering that I think the DC Direct products, while great, and their 1/6 line stuff is really great, it's not anywhere near as great as that. It's right. Not anywhere near as great as these Medicom pieces, and they're relatively the same price.
Is it Medicom or is it Hot Toys?
Hot Toys. Did I say Medicom earlier? Yeah. No, I meant Hot Toys. Wait. Okay. Yeah, it is Hot Toys. It's Hot Toys and DC Direct, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's actually imported by DC Direct. I'm actually looking on the box to see. It's Hot Toys, DC Direct. It says Toy Hunters on here also. So, yeah, it's a whole bunch of people coming together to put out this incredible, incredible product. Whew, man, that is nutty. And with that, let's take our final break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 173, being the Vulture.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I just about squeeze in the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, this is Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking mouth. Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 173, being the Vulture. Talked about John Malkovich being cast.
I didn't ask.
What do you mean?
You're going to give me the opportunity to ask you what we're talking about, sir.
I thought we were just rolling.
But there's a format to the program,
throw
sir.
Throw the format to the wind sometimes.
Do we?
All right, you ask. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is not this is not OG's corner.
Go ahead. Ask.
Is it? OG, what did we talk about tonight on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 173?
Well, Big Kev...
No, see, now you're just being a sarcastic asshole.
Sometimes I'm an asshole.
There's no need for that. I'm just trying to give the people what they enjoy.
All right.
You just want to chomp on.
I didn't realize they enjoyed a cookie
episode,
cutter of a show.
And we're back.
You change it once
in
a while.
And we talk about this.
Doesn't
and
have to be
blah,
so
blah.
Straightforward.
No, sometimes we take a break and, you know.
Sometimes we do.
We get the OG version of the show.
At least there was a show that week.
Could have been OG.
Hey,
and Mike.
Do you know what I was doing? Do you
probably
want...
contemplating suicide?
Well, actually, hey.
On tonight's show, we talked about John Malkovich being cast potentially as the Vulture in the upcoming Spider-Man 4 movie, and Anne Hathaway being cast as Felicia Hardy as the Vultress.
You want to know what Just Mike was doing during
what?
During you taping that show?
What?
Tune in to episode 174 for the Just Mike Minute.
There you
when
go.
When he will reveal what he was doing instead of taping episode 171.
You're going to cry.
probably anyway. Johnny Depp and Tim Burton have confirmed the Dark Shadows movie is moving forward.
IDW will produce a comic book based on Peter S. Spiegel's Last Unicorn.
Peter Jackson explains the separation of the two Hobbit films. Josh Brolin in Men in Black 3, McGee's delusional about the Terminator franchise, and Superman Earth, Batman Earth.
What will they be?
Earth 1.
No, Earth 1.
Yeah, that's important, sir. Sorry. Because
Earth 1, Batman Earth 1.
Are we on Earth 1 or Earth Prime?
Prime, I believe.
Is that the continuity is Prime? Okay. In comics tonight, we talked, we let you know about a few titles we'd like you to check out, and they included The Shield, number 4, from DC. All of these from DC. Wow, 4 DC books. Holiday DC Holiday Special 09. Doom Patrol, number 5, and Red Robin, number 7.
Out on DVDs this week, we talked about Public Enemies.
I don't need no damn Public Enemy.
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Being Julia.
No,
it's Julia and Julia.
Julia and Julia.
Lost Season 5 out on DVD this week.
Right, including that special Dharma Initiative.
The Dharma set with the VHS tape, but no VCR.
Which is weird. I thought it was awesome. in our D&D update tonight, we talked about the Draconomicon Metallic Dragons. To check this out or other fine DC product, go over to dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And in products tonight, we talked a little bit about the World of Warcraft trading card game, most recent expansion called Scourge War, and this new thing they have called the Epic Collection. Contains packs, a guaranteed loot card, some other things. It's a really nice way to get into the game, so check it out. And finally, the latest release from Hot Toys.
It's sexy.
Yes, it is. The Joker as the Gotham police officer from the movie. Two complete outfits, two head sculpts,
right.
One body. All
right.
You need is a second body. Details that would blow your mind, do blow your mind, should blow your mind. And there it is from Hot Toys. Gonna run you in the high range, but it's worth it. So there it is.
Don't forget, you can check out each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff over at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com. We have all the episodes, some Studio V. Rumor is new Studio V coming down the pipeline. That's the rumor.
What's blocking that pipeline?
Also, we have what is hopefully shaping up to be a live show on December 23rd.
December 23rd.
So more information on that as we get a little bit closer, a couple of weeks away.
I have a confirmation for that show.
Nice.
Big Rat will be on that.
Program. Woohoo! The return.
Yes.
The triumphant return.
Of Big Rat.
And I think that's about it. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes. We haven't plugged that in a while, so why don't you go over there, subscribe to the show, maybe leave us a little review.
Yes.
Rate the show.
We would like that.
Tell the world how much you love us.
In fact, for the best review on iTunes between now and Christmas,
okay,
a superior prize product will be mailed to you.
Has to be a new review. The ones that exist do not
count.
Right,
which means you create a new email.
That's right.
A new Gmail account. I'm trying to win a prize at gmail.com or something. And you go over there and you leave a new review of the show. And you don't have to leave a good review. You can say we suck. We just want you to leave a review. Of course, a good review can't hurt.
Yes, please.
You win in the prize. But I'm just saying. Because that would be inappropriate for me to say.
At this point, if you're listening to this show, you're either just love to be tortured or you genuinely love the show. I don't care why you listen, but...
As long as Marie listens.
I'm sure she does.
I'm just saying.
Is that it?
Yeah, so just to reiterate, the contest will conclude on Christmas. And thereafter, we will announce who the winner is of the Leave a Review for Big Kev's Geek Stuff on iTunes contest.
Do we want to say that we'll announce the winner live on the live show?
That would be December 23rd. So.
I know.
Just, I don't know.
Say.
I don't know.
That would be a nice venue, maybe?
A little too soon. I'd like to give them some space.
All right.
It's the holiday season, so are people busy?
Okay.
Okay.
We'll give them the extra 2 days.
Why don't we do it at the live show in January? Could happen.
Mm-hmm.
production, Tim says it'll happen. Uh-huh. Did he, this pipeline where the Studio V's are coming, did he like, did he take a giant dump in there and it's kind of backed up a little bit? I'm just saying.
A plunger?
Okay. And with that, Just Mike, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 173, Being the Vulture?
I want to have sex with Meryl Streep.
Why?
And on that note, we cue the music.
Come to this, we try to warn you all, but oh dear, you may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. We thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny tots and your friends and women. So long, so long, so long, so long, so long.
We would all